D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Well, it's 4:21. It's time for us to remember those who have recently passed away by taking a moment to evaluate just how much they matter. Whether they had the credentials to gain a room in a three-bedroom apartment in the sky, it is trifecta time. Today, we have another cowboy great who has left us, the unforgettable running back, Dwayne Thomas.
This, without a doubt, I don't want to say without a doubt, but as far as lore goes, I don't know each individual cowboy, but as far as legend and lore goes and those that were around at the time, Dwayne Thomas is the strangest Dallas Cowboy perhaps to ever don the silver and blue.
Yeah, and you know, the copy points are important. First round pick in 1970, Super Bowl champion, and many thought the Super Bowl MVP of the first Super Bowl win by the Dallas Cowboys in New Orleans. In fact, his Wikipedia page does say was voted as Super Bowl MVP by an overwhelming margin. And if you've ever watched Super Bowl VI, and it's out there, it's deserved. However, he had boycotted the media that whole year and pretty much his entire life. And the editor of Sport Magazine, which was in charge of the award, did not feel comfortable that Thomas would ever show up for the banquet, so they gave it to Roger Staubach.
Yeah, that's part of the legend. Dwayne was born right here.
Did Staubach ask for a station wagon for his family?
Yeah.
And that Staubach way of his?
Yeah, look, I've got three kids under the age of five. I need a station wagon.
I don't need a sports car. Yeah. Please, can I have a station wagon?
So he was born right here in Dallas, raised in Dallas, went to Lincoln High School in the mid-60s, went to West Texas State University, which I don't know what that is now, if it's still West Texas or what it is, but...
West Texas A&M? Is that what it's called now?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
So he, after a pretty solid college career, was drafted in the first round by the Cowboys. And once he got going, there was really no stopping Dwayne Thomas. In 1970, he led the team in rushing. He didn't start until the fifth game. So he had 800 yards of rushing. And at the end of the season, this was unheard of back then. At the end of his rookie season, he goes to management and says, I need you to rework my contract. And
that was frowned upon back then.
Well, I mean, even now. I mean, yeah, forget about the amount of money that these guys
make.
That's true.
That's true. You would be laughed out of the room even today, but back then, Texan wasn't hearing it. Nobody in the league was hearing it.
He publicly called Tom Landry a plastic man. No man at all. They had just won the Super Bowl. Or no. They had just gone to the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. They lost.
Yes. His two Cowboy seasons were both Super Bowl years.
Yes. They had just gone to the Super Bowl. They lost. But he had the gall, I guess you would say, to walk into the office and say, look, give me a new deal. He called Tex Schramm a liar, or Gil Brandt a liar, Tex Schramm deceitful, and didn't report to camp. So here, this adds to the weirdness of it all. The front office is like, we're not dealing with this. You know how we respond to demands like this from 22-year-olds that have really no skin in the game? We're going to trade you. And they trade him to the Patriots. And a week later, he doesn't report to New England. Like, he's like, I'm not going. I don't want to play there. And then there was some sort of dispute with the coach at the time. Of the Patriots. There was issues with him. And Pete Rozelle just said, look, you're not showing up to camp, which he didn't, or Dwayne, he didn't even show up to New England. I want to be traded, but I don't want to be traded there. Then you had these issues with the Patriots head coach, John Mazur, and Pete Rozelle stepped in and said, trade voided, which I don't believe had been done before.
Yeah, trade completely off. You guys get these guys back. We're going to give the Cowboys a couple picks. One turned into Robert Newhouse. And everybody acted like it didn't happen, except Dwayne.
Yeah, and that's when Dwayne Thomas comes back to Dallas because there's no trade and no one will touch him now. And so he, to get even with the management of Gil Brand and Tex Schramm and Tom Landry, he says, I'm not talking to the media, because he thought the media was on management side.
Which, of course they were.
Of course they were. It's the Cowboys in the early 70s.
You have a choice between the Cowboys or Dwayne Thomas, a 22-year-old who's a rookie and wants a raise. Which was the early media going to side with?
So he doesn't say a word all year long, but he kicks ass. They just opened Texas Stadium up. He scores the first touchdown at Texas Stadium.
Yes, he did.
He leads the league.
Heck of a run, by the way. Think against the Patriots, no less.
Yeah. He leads the league in touchdowns. He's all pro. As you said, they go on to win the NFC. They go to the Super Bowl. He tears it up in the Super Bowl. And if you see highlights, dude, this guy was so badass.
Yeah, so he had a couple famous quotes. One that I don't believe there's audio of, which was when he was asked at Super Bowl Media Day about playing in the ultimate game. And his answer, of course, has been quoted a million times. If it's the ultimate game, how come they're playing it again next year? That was one of his quotes. Another one from one of our former colleagues who made this quote famous, because when I watched it on Super Bowl VI, I was looking for the one-word answer of evidently, I would like to play for you, Tom Brookshire, in the Cowboys locker room in New Orleans after Super Bowl VI. He is interviewing Dwayne Thomas, which, of course, is a big deal because Dwayne Thomas did zero interviews. He did one with Jim Brown standing next to him as, like, his handler. Okay, so if there's any problems, you got to answer to Jim Brown.
And by the way, very close comp. He was huge for that era. Dude, he was a 230-pound dude that ran a 4.4.
All right, so I'm going to play this off the laptop, boys, if I may. Here is Tom Brookshire and Dwayne Thomas after Super Bowl VI.
Dwayne, how are you?
All right.
My name's Tom Brookshire,
right.
And it's nice to talk to you. And behind you is a fellow that used to run over me for a living, the great Jimmy Brown. How are you, Jimmy?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Dwayne, you do things with speed, but you never hurry, a lot like the great Jim Brown. You never hurry into a hole. You take your time, make a spin. You still outrun people. Are you that fast? Are you that quick, would you say?
Evidently.
And that was pretty much the interview. That was pretty much the conversation where Tom Brookshire is so nervous, partly because Jim Brown is standing over Dwayne Thomas's shoulder. But are you that fast? Evidently. And
how about the media overlap?
Well, this guy said something. He's been mad forever, and he finally said something. And so that was a very, very big moment. And so everybody lived happily ever after, right?
No. Unfortunately, right after he demanded a trade once again.
At Thousand Oaks.
Yes.
This was a Cowboys campfire that we probably did about a week after Dave started on the show, I think. Mm-hmm. As I recall, the first time we had camp together, we discussed the training camp in which Dwayne Thomas was traded following Super Bowl VI. So he never played another game with the Cowboys.
No.
And in fact,
2 years,
to be fair,
two Super Bowls and an MVP that he should have won.
To be fair, he never really played football again.
Nope.
He sort of bounced around, but his 2 years with the Cowboys are pretty much his entire career. Here is Channel 8's Vern Lundquist giving us thoughts on the fact that at Cowboy Camp today, and here you can see him with the practice field
old
and Thousand Oaks in the background. Look at that California hillside. Here he is reporting for Channel 8, explaining how the Cowboys just traded their best player in the training camp following their first Super Bowl. And we'll do it here, and we'll definitely do it on the ticket. Why are you not playing for me?
Should we do it on the ticket, or
you know,
we
should. And here's the thing: it was working fine. Okay, here it is. And we're gonna go.
Members of the media and Dallas fans. In a matter that almost cries for delicate objectivity, it's difficult to find it. Everyone has an opinion on the Thomas affair. I've mine, and I'd like to share it with you. This was a trade that had to be made. Dwayne Thomas had gone too far. The Cowboys had walked with him as far as they could. They had bent and found they could walk no further. Ignore, if you will, the well-publicized Thomas activities of the last 2 years, and consider momentarily only the Thomas activities of the past 7 days. Last Wednesday, he appeared for practice 30 minutes late. He has the right to do so, but he was fined accordingly. Last Thursday, he boarded the Cowboy charter flight for Chicago sans tie, a direct violation of club policy requiring coats and ties for all out-of-town trips. He has the right to do so, but he was fined accordingly. Last Friday night in Chicago, after the completion of the All-Star game, I saw
They were playing the All-Star game.
There you go.
Dwayne Thomas outside of the dressing room shove, physically push aside a young lad of about 8, who, being unlearned in the ways of the world, had had the gall to ask this man for his autograph. He has the right to deal with young boys in any manner he sees.
Whoa.
But I personally found it a nasty scene to witness. The cruncher came on Monday. He missed the morning team meeting and was fined. He missed the afternoon practice and was fined. He missed the evening meeting and was fined. He told Coach Tom Landry that he simply didn't feel like taking part. Well, the blatantly obvious point, of course, is that given the 100-degree-plus temperatures here Monday, there were 60-odd others who didn't feel like taking part. They did, he didn't, and the point of no return had been reached.
So there you go.
100 degrees at Thousand Oaks?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like...
What's going on?
They knew how
what
to
happened?
Get to, they didn't know how to get to Oxnard.
Yeah, how about the... And I saw him shove an 8-year-old boy...
to the ground and stand over him.
All right, Lando. Dwayne...
Did you guys give his Super Bowl quote, by the way?
The evidently...
No.
The fact that if it's the ultimate game.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Look,
why are they playing it next year?
Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's not a Pro Football Hall of Famer by any stretch, but he is an unforgettable Cowboy, so he's in.
Lando?
I mean, he disrespected Tom Landry.
I know. He might belong in the hole.
I'm going to say out.
I'm going to go against Lando and say in.
Ham?
Out.
Oof. I'm putting him in, dude. There's too much.
We're a Dallas sports radio
legend
station
that goes along with this guy. And
like, what's the rationale of voting him out?
How about this? In like the last 20 years of his life, oddly enough, he became friends with Dan.
Yes, he did.
He reached out to Dan.
I was in the car. They talked for 10 minutes. It was the weirdest thing.
How weird! All right, he's in.